ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Well, well. Juan Kincaid chiming in. He's in New York. And try to get him at some point, get a sense and feel. What does he want? What would you want for the fourth pick? Is that what he's saying?
Yeah, for Kevin Love.
Oh, for Kevin Love? Solomon Hill and a bag of wooden nickels. I love it. Send that on Twitter. This is great. So much news out there. The Lakers, the nerve. Travis, where are you, Travis? The nerve to now they want salary help so they can get a third max player. For calling me and asking me that, Kyle Kuzma's now on the table. Actually, not on he's on that deal. Play hardball, David.
He better be on a plane right now.
Come on. Well, he can't until July 6th.
That doesn't
Nobody's
matter.
On the plane.
No.
So he's going to hold him at the airport?
Correct. Keep him on the runway.
Stop.
Runway.
You know, July 6th is nowhere near June 19th, right?
Doesn't matter. As long as he gets fed.
800-998-1003. Josh, coming to you in a quick sec. You got to hear from him. you might have heard of him. You know who this might be. Zion, the man. The myth. Spoke this morning, media day. You want to know maybe what it's like
dig deep and become to, that sort of player.
To at least know what it's like to play in New Orleans? This is what Zion had to say.
Honestly, I just want to be in the NBA. I didn't have a favorite team growing up. Just to be in the NBA is all I ask for. And wherever team I end up, I know that I'm going to give them my all.
Zion, and if he's ready to be the face of a franchise.
Obviously, yeah, my mindset, yeah, I think I am ready to be the face. I think everybody has that mindset. I think if somebody doesn't have that mindset, then I don't know if they're playing the right sport. But
AD.
Whether I'm the face or not, I'm just ready to help my...
Final bite, Zion on the visit to NOLA.
The city seems very excited if I come there. and, you know, it was kind of like a business thing. Like, I understand this is a business, and they just told me that maybe they'll draft me or if I'm a good player or something.
Just maybe.
Because I mean, just the city was just very welcoming. Like, everywhere I went, it was just like walking on the street. It was just people, you know, high-fiving me, saying they hope I come here. To go into, God, I think the food place was called Commanders.
Yeah.
I've been seeing some of people saying I got like chicken tenders. No, that was my 5-year-old brother that did that. I got fried shrimp with some mashed potatoes.
What did your 5-year-old brother think of
New Orleans? Noah's just the man. Noah can go anywhere in the country and he'll be at home.
I love it. That's Zion. We'll hear a little bit more from his media day today. Josh, what you got, man?
Thanks, Gus, taking the call. I'm on the train with Jordan. I love the trade. I think the overvaluing of Kuzma's potential is not equivalent to the picks that we got in return. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he was on the table. But I'm sure when Pelinka said no on Kuzma, Griffin said, okay, well, you're going to sell the farm to us. So I have a question for y'all. I haven't been able to find it online. If the Pelicans somehow end up trading their first-round pick in the year that we have the option to switch with the Lakers, what happens with that option? I understand we have first-round picks in other years, but let's just say another team wants those years. Mm-hmm. Do we still have the option to switch with them, or how does that go? I haven't heard anything on it. I know it's a very, like, crazy question. It'll never happen, but...
Right. Josh, my understanding would be, since you own that pick, one way or another, you get to choose what it is. But you're the owner of that decision, right? To either choose it or defer. If I'm trading that, you're trading that choice as well, would be my understanding.
Okay, I was just a little confused on that. Yeah.
Right, so, so if you traded per se to the Jazz, then the Jazz would have then that option to use it now or defer it to next year.
Gotcha, gotcha. Yeah, I agree with Jordan. You know, I think there's actually a rule in the NBA you can only trade so many first rounders.
You can't do it in consecutive years, right?
Well, I think that the Lakers have actually already hit the most possible. I don't think they're allowed to trade first rounders anymore for a couple of years now, which is awesome. So other than when the Nets sold their entire franchise to the Celtics, it's really exciting because we're invested in our team, but we're also heavily invested into a team that has two big men that get hurt easily. And I'm just very excited for this upcoming season. So who that baby looks at.
Yeah, it is. Josh, thank you so much for the phone call. Is it Buzz? Next up,
Buzz.
Hey, man, I just want to say I've been a big fan since the early 2000s, and to watch these moves happen has been incredible. David Griffin has come in and killed every single thing that he's done so far. I'm pretty pumped about the Trajan Langdon hire, too. If you haven't noticed, the past 3 years with Jared Jack and a couple of other guys, he's hit draft picks. So I think it'd be, you know, if R.J. Barrett did fall to us at four, that would be awesome. I don't think it's going to happen, but if it did, I would stick with that. If R.J. Barrett didn't fall to us at four, it'd be a gamble taking Garland. I don't know much about him. He sounds pretty raw, but I think it'd be really smooth to move back 8 to 10 and maybe pick up Fogle or somebody else like that. Your opinion?
I'm with you. I think if Barrett goes at three, you have a world of possibilities. Yesterday's reports were the Celtics, the Bulls, and the T-Wolves were interested in the fourth pick. That was the report yesterday. Remember, Jordan? Celtics, Bulls, and T-Wolves wanted the fourth pick. So, you know, I said, okay, with Boston, I'll ask for Jaylen Brown. I mean, you ask for Tatum to see, you know, but I doubt that's what they'll do, but Brown. And I don't know what I'd get from the T-Wolves, Markkanen from Chicago. Maybe might be what I would want from there.
Zach LaVine, you mean?
No.
From the Bulls?
They're not.
I mean, Clark would be a great investment. Yeah. I mean, think about Clark, dude, you know. I mean, even having him come off the bench and playing him at the five was down to the four. That'd be badass.
Yeah, no, like I said, there's so many options. I mean, you can move down to 8 and 10 with Atlanta. I mean, they have 8, 10, and 17. Brian suggested, give me 10 and 17 in next year's pick to do that, and you can keep 8. Do you go 8 and 10 like that? They got a bunch of second-round picks as well. I mean, you can basically have 6, 7 picks this draft or not, or you ask for future picks. There's a lot of different things you can do, especially what if the Knicks – go Darius Garland and R.J. Barrett's there.
Go R.J.
You're going R.J.
I mean, it's going to be the It's going to be the most watched Vegas Summer League final game of all time. Period. I will put money on that too. That will be the most watched Vegas game besides Lonzo. Maybe that couple of years ago, that will be the most watched game. I think. Period. 100.
I don't know if I've Vegas ever been Summer this League excited game. for the Summer League. Ever. I think I was excited for seeing Lonzo, but like this is the next level. Like I just can't wait for basketball to start. I'm itching for basketball to start.
I got to get off the phone because my goosebumps are really bothering me right now.
It is. I hear you, man. Markkanen. Look, Laurie Markkanen is the guy that I would ask for the bully. 7 feet, 240, 22 years old, and he's only going to cost you $4 million.
Now I'm waiting for a taco fall.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, that's somebody, if the Bulls went the fourth, I mean, he's good, man. He's good. You need a big guy. You don't have a big to help you.
You wait and see if Taco Fall drops to you.
You and your Taco Fall. How many times do I need to tell you he's like in the 50s?
Taco Tuesday.
Okay, that's it. You're done. You were doing so well.
That's the LeBron.
You know what? Give me the shovel. We don't need you in the engine compartment anymore to shovel any coal. You've clearly out. You're done. You're good for about a shovel or two a day.
I'm pumped.
And just now you proved it.
I'm pumped, man, for tomorrow.
Did you really just say Taco Tuesday for Taco Fall?
Yeah.
Over Markkanen.
Correct.
Do me a favor. While I play some more Zion Bites, go ahead and go House of Highlights Laurie Markkanen for me.
You're going to have to spell that for me.
M-A-R-double-K-A-N-E-N. go do that for me. 7 feet, 240, 22 years old, out of Arizona. Just go do that for me, and then go Google Taco Fall. And you tell me if that's even remotely the same player. Once you do that research, then come back to the mic and we'll talk. Sound good?
Only 2 minute highlights.
Okay. In the meantime, some more from Zion Williamson. He was asked, is he upset that he's not going to the Knicks?
That's a situation where the media is affecting your opinion. Like, what people don't know, like I said, I just want to be in the NBA. I think it was around December is when people started talking about me with the Knicks and stuff, and me and RJ would be like, they just don't know that we just want to be in the NBA. Like, we don't really have a team. We just want to be here.
Well, he's hitting some threes so far.
Thank you. Zion on the new Pels front office on his chat with Alvin Gentry.
Yeah, you're fine. You're fine. Honestly, I couldn't tell you. I'm such a simple dude. Like, I just want to hoop. Like, whether they made those changes or not, I'm still going out there. I'm just excited to be out there. I just want to play basketball, pretty much.
You talked to any players involved with the Pelicans, like Drew Holiday or any of the veterans that are around there? Like, did they reach out after?
No, I haven't talked to any of them yet.
Have you done any research on Alvin Gentry and the way he plays and how it potentially fits your
game? In the Fletcher.
Just assuming that's where you go.
My assistant, the assistant coaches at Duke and Coach K, they've told me about him, and he said he's a great coach, and Coach Gentry said that he lets his players play, so if I go there, I think I'm gonna like it.
Did you run across Lonzo Ball or Brendan Ingram on the AAU scene? I know Brendan's a dark
coach. No, I've never ran across him.
Okay. Any thoughts on their game?
I think he's a great PG, very old school, and I respect that about him. And Brandon Ingram, I think he's a bucket getter. Like, I think he can give you 25, 30 a night, like, in the right situation.
Oh, 25, 30 a night.
Yeah, I want to see that. Zion on the pressure of being Zion. By the way, I told you, right? I've been saying this. Like, the marketability is ridiculous. Now, AD got the Ruffles deal yesterday. You saw what Zion got, huh? I don't know. See, this, well, they're just calling it the Wing Box. It's not the Zion Box.
From Popeyes?
Popeyes, tomorrow, on the Canal Street location only. 81-inch box of tenders,
are they only,
or wings.
Are they only giving away one of those? Because it looks like it will take
$79.
It would take a couple hours for that chicken to fry.
That's a lot of chicken. I mean, are you in?
I'm in. I'm all in.
Do you realize the possibilities marketing-wise? That's why he has two agents. One's going to focus on the marketing aspect. You're going to need both to do it. You're going to see him plastered everywhere.
AD, you failed.
Yeah.
If this was a test, big F on your
Zion
paper.
On the pressure.
I don't really see his pressure on... I'm doing what I love to do, and that's play basketball. And I don't try to live up to nobody's expectations. They can set them there, but I don't try to live up to them. I just be me. I try to be the best version of myself I can be.
Well said that associate head coach Nate James of the Duke Blue Devils. I had a conversation with him that recorded yesterday evening. We'll play that at the bottom of the hour. It was really cool to hear from one of the coaches on the Duke staff. Coming up next, Mike Triplett. Get the latest take on Mike Thomas and his contract. How close are he and the Saints? Jeff Duncan this morning saying, it's not that close, but they do want to get something done by training camp. We'll speak with Senor Triplett. See, now you got me going, Senor, with your Taco Tuesday.
Taco Tuesday.
It's Wednesday. What do we eat on Wednesday? Wing Wednesday?
Ooh, Wing Wednesday.
Ooh, Wing Wednesday.
We're not at Vinny's, so. No. But tomorrow will be.
Tomorrow will be at Vinny's. The one-year anniversary party is tomorrow night as well. Live music specials all day. So after you see the Pels draft, you can go finish the draft over there as well. You can go over there to the draft. We're going to go to the draft fan fest going on over in Manning's as well. We'll have some fun. Maybe stop by over there at Vinny's. Also, got a lot of places to be tomorrow, Jordan. Sports Hangover in ESPN New Orleans.
Are you tired of waiting in the big box stores?
Customer needs assistance in appliances. Never mind. Customer went to Rod's Superstore.
Spring is in the air at Rod's Superstore in Houma. Rod's is now an authorized Blaze barbecue grill and accessory dealer. With the Blaze limited lifetime warranty and a selection of grills, side burners, and flat top burners, along with refrigerators and outdoor island, will make any backyard a getaway. The heat is on, and Rod Superstore has Friedrich and Frigidaire window air conditioners from 5,000 to 36,000 BTUs to keep you cool this summer. Rod Superstore has home appliances by Frigidaire Pro, Sub-Zero, Wolf, KitchenMaid, Whirlpool, and Maytag. Refrigerators and freezers, ranges and dishwashers, washers and gas and electric dryers. All this and factory-trained in-house service for their customers only. Why not Rod Superstore, 808 Barrow Street in Houma.
El Paso Mexican Grill in Raceland is well known for their authentic Mexican food and their cantina. Come and enjoy their daily lunch specials and happy hour from 3 till 7 with $2 ice cold beer and 2-for-1 margaritas. Looking for the best party on the bayou? Well, that's El Paso's Grill and Cantina with a live mariachi band. El Paso Mexican Grill, the freshest food from our family to yours. El Paso Mexican Grill on Highway 1 in Raceland.
Want more from your bank? Open a Cajun Pride checking account at State Bank and Trust Company and enjoy the benefits. Unlimited check writing, overdraft protection, online banking, mobile banking, debit card, ID theft assistance, safe deposit box discounts, prescription drug discounts, shopping, travel, entertainment discounts, and much more. Call or come in for more information about applicable fees and terms. State Bank and Trust Company. Cajun banking, served just the way you like it. State Bank and Trust Company, member FDIC.
You have a pest control problem? Roundtree's Pest Control and Supplies has an experienced staff that can guide you with the products to use yourself for your home or business. They carry a full line of professional products for termites, mosquitoes, ants, wasps, fleas, bed bugs, mice and rats, or any other pest control needs you may have. That's Roundtree's Pest Control and Supplies. Call 985-475-3314. That's Roundtree's Pest Control and Supplies.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingill.
Welcome back to Sports Hangover. Basketball, of course, on the top of a lot of people's minds here in the city of New Orleans. Crazy to think, as we spoke with Sir Lawrence of the Holder yesterday about it, how quiet OTA minicamp sort of seemed. Mike Triplett of ESPN.com joins us. Mike, I said it like this to him. First off, good afternoon to you, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I think, can the Saints use the max mid-level exception on Michael Thomas' new deal? How does that work?
See? You see how Mike Triplett starting to learn the NBA lingo. No, it's crazy though, right, Mike? But from, look, the AD, my time is up sort of thing, late January, that's all folks in April, the hiring of David Griffin, and then the trade, now the draft here late June. It's all around the time of NFL free agency, the NFL draft, OTA minicamp. It's nuts though, right? I mean, normally a day like today, last week, we'd be talking 3 hours on Cam Jordan and Michael Thomas's potential new contracts, the one that he just got, the storylines for minicamp and OTAs, and it's almost like Cam Jordan got a new deal. Up next, Zion, where is he? You know what I'm saying? It's crazy.
No, it is, but I will say two things separately. First of all, here's my hot take. They should put the statue of Anthony Davis up there and recircle, because if he had just tried really hard for another year and a half, played out his contract, and left, the Pelicans would be done. Like, him quitting and demanding a trade and saying, I'm not going to be a part of it anymore, is the best thing that ever happened in the organization. Because not only did they tank last year and get Zion, but that's all they got for him. I mean, if he had just played out his contract, which in theory is the noble thing to do, they'd be left with nothing. So, good thing he gave them the heads up when he did. But the other thing is, I disagree with you that you say that the OTAs were surprisingly quiet. OTAs are always quiet, man. Oh, it's so silly that they're playing football in May. I, I, I've covered 15 years of these things now with the Saints, and I did it with the Niners for 3 years before that, and I've never understood why we're doing about football in May. I know the NFL calendar's year-round. I love writing about the draft. I love writing about the free agents, but watching them on the practice field in shorts, these storylines are really developing now. It's late July when we start to get geared up.
You know what? You're just upset that I just constantly want to talk to you every time I see you about little Jordan Humphrey.
Yeah,
that's all that
content.
Is.
Unfortunately, you can't shut the show down in June and July.
Yeah, exactly right. Mike Triplett, ESPN.com. There were some things, though, that we did see. We'll wrap up, obviously, with some of the storylines that we did kind of, I guess, learn from. And as I always say, the things to look into when camp starts starting here at the end of next month. But Mike, let's first start, obviously, Cam Jordan. You and I have had that famous conversation away
back. I know,
back.
Isn't that hilarious?
Right?
When did we start that? Like,
it was my first year
Thomas
here.
The second year, the debate, who's the second best player on the team? I said Jordan, you said Thomas, and we went on this debate now here. You're ultimately going to be right because Thomas is going to make – Cam Jordan only made about $18 million on his deal, and Thomas is going to trump that.
Well, I mean, Larry used to call me Goostradamus, or at least I do, because, look, here's the thing. I heard it on Golic and Wingo this morning. They were talking about the deal, and, you know, the second receiver was almost 100 receptions shy. I mean, Ben Watson was the second leading receiver. You know, you had Kamara, Watson. The next receiver was Ginn, and he was almost 100 catches behind Michael Thomas. So, yeah, and that's what, because that was my argument. You take Michael Thomas out, no one's scared of the Saints receiving.
Well, you look, we had this debate, whatever it was, 2 years ago, I guess, we were talking about this, and I thought Cam Jordan was more important to the team because I thought he was all they had in the front seven, whereas they had more weapons in the passing game. And that has flipped in the last 2 years. Now their front seven is a little deeper than it was, and their receiving core is way more depleted. Yeah, he might be more important to the team right now than Drew Brees, honestly. They have a better backup quarterback than they have number two and three options at wide receiver right now.
Yeah, it's crazy. And this is what I also felt, though, looking at the OTAs and the minicamp practice that you had there. I didn't leave, Mike, with the sense and feeling of, man, I don't know how the Saints are going to throw the football up and down the field. I mean, there's no options there. Jared Cook looked like he's made for this offense, and they're already starting to get a little report on that. You saw even Latavius Murray getting a lot of passes out the backfield, and you know Kamara can sort of do that. Ted Ginn made some nice flash plays. Looks like he's fresh and young. It almost feels like Traquan Smith and others are just trying to, you know, fight for time on the field. Am I wrong with that?
No, I completely agree. And look, I'm trying to be cautious about not overstating the importance of Jared Cook. We saw with Kobe Fleener that you don't just step in and automatically put up Jimmy Graham numbers in this offense. And Jared Cook has disappointed or, you know, failed to live up to height in his career a number of times. But he does look made for this offense. And when he was in an offense most similar to it, John Gruden's offense in Oakland, he had the best year of his career. I can't help but think that he's going to be a big asset for this offense, filling a void they really needed to fill. And I agree, Ted Ginn Jr., healthy, he was really missed last year. And now all of a sudden you're asking guys like Traquan Smith or Keith Kirkwood or Cameron Meredith, if he ever gets healthy, to be your fifth option in the passing game or your sixth option in the passing game. And that is not too much to ask. It was real trouble when they were the number two option in the passing game last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt. And I think when you look at this offense, there's a lot of potential there. When you look at this offense, though, it starts with the line. I think that's why you saw a decline in numbers towards the end of last season. Speak with Mike Triplett of ESPN.com. Seeing Eric McCoy kind of finish up with a lot more time with the ones, safe to say, going into camp, it's his job to lose?
Oh, absolutely. That's absolutely safe to say that it's his job to lose. Now, the one thing I wonder about with this team is I think their biggest need was the passing game, and we just talked about it. But there are three areas where it kind of feels like they're going to be okay, but we don't really know for sure. And one of them is center. Are they going to be okay going from Max Unger to Eric McCoy? One of them is running back. Are they going to be okay going from Ingram to Latavius Murray? And the other one is the defensive line. Are they going to be okay going, you know, losing Alex Okafor and Sheldon Rankins for maybe half the season to hoping for, you know, more from Marcus Davenport in year two and Malcolm Brown as the nose tackle? So those are the three areas where if they're going to drop off, they could drop off. But you kind of feel pretty good about their fallback options in all three of those areas. And I think you can't just say, oh, Max Unger went to the Pro Bowl last year. He was the veteran leader, captain, signal caller, and this guy they picked up in the second round, boom, we're all set. Mm-hmm. But it does seem like they have him and they have other options. If he falters, you feel a little better about that position than you did the day that Max Unger announced his retirement.
You know what else I enjoy too, Mike, is being able to see Marcus Davenport from the first week of OTAs, kind of not doing a lot of team, to the last day of minicamp, seeing him with the ones, getting the work in, really kind of seeming to gel with the rest of that defense, really. And it looks like Marcus Davenport will be at least healthy and ready to go starting training camp.
Yeah, I was curious about that since he had that surgery right after the season, and it was almost February by the time he had that surgery. I didn't know if he was going to miss all of this and be limited in training camp. So I think that's real promising and positive to see that. They're really counting on him. I'm very surprised they did not add a veteran edge rusher. And they looked at a few, obviously. They were in on the Robert Quinn trade discussions. They brought in Ziggy Ansah for a visit. And I think there were a couple more. So they definitely considered it. So they're really counting on him to play a very big role for this team. And health is obviously a great start.
Mike, one of the things that also stood out to me in the few practices we got to watch, I think not having any turnover or change at the position coaches on defense is an exciting thing from this standpoint if you're a Saints fan. It just looks like it's a gelled unit, not even gelling, just a gelled unit. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson's going to see some time, man. He's going to make that position group even better because it's going to be a battle to get on the field because he's probably going to get on the field. But I don't know, it's just the demeanor. You know, like right before team drills, they all have handshakes. They're all are dancing. They're all, it just seems like they're together. But I think a lot of that comes from you have players that have been on that seat, on that system for a bit. All those position coaches have at least 2 years with pretty much all of those players, including Davenport going into a second. Doesn't it come across, though, like a unit that's, they're ready to go?
Yeah, I do worry a little bit about the defensive line, as I said. It was the strength of their defense last year, and a big part of it was because Rankins was playing like an absolute Pro Bowler and one of the best players on the whole team last year. So his loss is significant. Alex Okafor's loss is significant, too. And so there is a lot of turnover on the defensive line, I think, that they're going to have to get past. They're also switching from starter Tyler Davidson at nose tackle to Malcolm Brown. So I think there could be some growing pains on the defensive line. But that back seven, I mean, they've played musical chairs at linebacker for the last decade, and now you've got all the same guys coming back at linebacker. That was really a good unit. And then the secondary, I think, could really be the strength of the team. When you think about how good they played down the stretch in general, but now you've got Eli Apple actually comfortable learning this defense from scratch for the entire year instead of being thrown in the fire. And you've got Patrick Robinson back. But then you've also got P.J. Williams, who benefited from his time as Patrick Robinson's replacement. That's going to be a nice battle for who's going to be the nickel. And a nice backup plan for whoever isn't. And then you mentioned Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, who looks good and playing multiple roles in that defense. Von Bell had a career year last year, I think. Marcus Williams and Marshawn Lattimore are still getting older in this league. That unit really stands out as one that is definitely arrow-pointing up.
Mike, I think one of the things as well that I've been saying after minicamp wrapped up, see if you agree with me on this, is it looked like a team that you just got to get through the next several weeks when training camp and preseason comes healthy. I mean, like, that's my number one storyline. We're always going to, you're going to come up with, you know, storylines heading into camp. Is that not number one? It's number one to me. Get through it healthy. We can kind of talk about position battles or, you know, depth position battles, things of that nature. But to me, it's, I think this is a team that's darn near ready to go. They just need to get their work in, get in shape, whatever you need to. But with the four-game stretch you got, they already have plans as to where they're going to practice between games two and three. They got everything set. It's just get through camp, get through the preseason healthy, see you week one.
Maybe we should cancel it.
I'm with you. Believe me. I'm with you on that. Because, right? Yeah, but seriously, there's no need to really see anything. I mean, if you want to see Teddy Bridgewater get some work, that's great. But, like, Thomas ain't playing. Kamara ain't playing. Drew's not playing. Jordan's not playing. You know, I mean, there's a lot of people that I don't want playing preseason.
You could say that for probably the top 20 contending teams in the league. Number one, stay healthy. And actually, it's a big reason why the Saints were 13-2 to start last season, because they were incredibly healthy last year. But you're right. I understand your point, which is we don't have a lot of uncertainty and question marks. I mean, obviously, you need to strap the pads on Eric McCoy and see if he's ready to go. And Marcus Davenport needs to be ready to be a stud. And they got to get that chemistry on the defensive line. But this is not, it's not like we're going to be covering Cleveland Browns training camp. We're going to be like, hey, this new guy. Hey, look at this new guy. How does he fit? It's like, we know who all the key players are. It'll be nice to watch Jared Cook for a quarter here and a quarter there. But you're right. This team, it feels like the countdown is to week one, not the preseason opener right now.
Yeah, no doubt about it when you look at it from that perspective. Mike, any final other thoughts, man, lasting takeaways from the few weeks that we saw in OTA and in minicamp?
Man, we don't even get to monitor, like, who's winning the kicker battle this year. That used to be a big thing we do during training camp. That one's all set. Not too many lasting thoughts. We mentioned Bridgewater, though. Enjoy Bridgewater while we get to watch him for 4 weeks of training camp of the preseason, because then he goes back to being a guy we don't see again all year. But I was really impressed by him. I think he looks like a pretty polished dude. I'm really fascinated to see what happens with his career. It's too bad that they can't just like keep him on retainer for whenever they need him. He is going to be one of those guys that I think we're most interested in watching this summer, just because he's new, and I think that I think he can really play.
There it is, Mike Triplett, ESPN.com. Are you going to watch the draft tomorrow night?
Not a lot of suspense, but
well, you don't know what they're doing at number four. I mean, they can trade out of it. You got 2 second round picks. There could be more picks. There could be other trades, Mike. There's a lot more past. Well,
come on,
one.
Mike.
Come on, Mike.
I know. I'm sure I'll watch, I feel like we'll hear about it. Reports, and then what, it won't become official until week four of the NFL season or something. Is that how the NBA draft trade works?
Yeah, it's something like that. It's late July when everything becomes official, and then you got to sign on a dotted line. It's sort of like illegal tampering in NFL free agency. On Monday you can talk, but you got to wait till Thursday until it becomes official. It's sort of like that. It's similar.
Yeah, it was funny. I was just listening back to a Latavius Murray interview where he was saying something like, oh, there were some teams interested early on, and then they kind of bowed out, and they weren't talking to me for a while. And I'm like, he agreed to his deal on the second day of the tampering window. Is he giving us the hour-by-hour breakdown of how his free agency went?
Yeah, no doubt. All right, my friend. I appreciate the time for joining us this afternoon. Thank you.
Have a good one, guys.
All right, there he is. Mike Triplett, ESPN.com. Breaking news from Wojnarowski. Adrian Wojnarowski. Maybe not. I don't know.
I knew it was coming.
No. It's not yet.
What did I say to you?
What did you
this
say?
This morning.
What was it?
About our boy Ricky.
It's not official. That was a parody account. You got to make sure you watch that. But the Pacers are definitely trying to get Ricky Rubio. But there's a lot of reports out there right now that there also could be interested for their number 4 overall pick, Darius Garland. Ooh. If the Knicks take 3 and Garland's available, the Pels are going to have, looks like, the Pacers, the T-Wolves, the Bulls, the Celtics all wanting a point guard for Darius Garland's there.
Repeat those teams again?
All right, so the Celtics need a point guard.
Correct.
The Bulls need a point guard.
Correct.
T-Wolves were the team that was also reported, I'm just going by the report yesterday on Yahoo.
Take them off the list.
Okay. And the Pacers, they want Ricky Rubio or the 4th round pick if Garland's there.
The Pacers.
See, this is beautiful if you're David Griffin and the Pels. Back to your point with the Lakers pick. If I would have gone 3, you know, who knows if he would have got. But still, David Griffin's going to get a bunch of phone calls tomorrow night the second the Knicks select who it is. Because he can really, and you know what? You're going to have 4 or 5 phones at the go. You know?
You're going to be on the clock.
Okay, if Darius Garland is available, and the Knicks go with R.J. Barrett. Then the Celtics call, and you go, all right, Tatum. Nah, that's good. All right, sorry, Bulls on the line. Bulls. Mark Cannon.
You're passing up Tatum.
If the Celtics say
okay,
no,
okay, all right.
Then you just go, all right, well, hold on, the Bulls are on the line. And then you go up and down, and you start asking, you know.
You have to do that quick.
It's going to be quick. You're right. You better do it.
I'm not going to be in that situation.
You could always take them. You could always draft them. And then you trade them. You could always
I think that's
draft
a smart move.
I think that's the smarter move. I'm starting to think if he's there, they will trade him. Don't freak out. I think then the Pels will decide what to do.
I think that's the smarter move.
Yeah, and then you take your time. And then you got him. He's yours. Who wants him? He is. Member of yours.
I think you get a consensus.
Yeah.
And then you say, all right, whoever wants Garland. Then.
Dude, David Griffin and the Pels, you know what? You're right. Mike Triplett, he's right. Statue right there, formerly Lee Circle. Thank you, AD. I'm going to go buy a bag of Ruffles today at the convenience store.
I'm not.
Just in support.
No, I'm not.
Because without his selfishness, none of this ever happened. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
You've been free fuel for a year in the Shell Great Gas Giveaway. Fuel Rewards members are automatically entered every time they purchase 8 gallons or more. And if you choose new Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline, you get 4 entries. So, it's time to fill up for a chance to win. Not a member? To join, download the app or go to fuelrewards.com/win. No purchase necessary. Motion ends 9/1/19. See official rules at fuelrewards.com/win for how to enter by mail and all details.
Hi, I'm Lindy LaRue with Donlin Construction. Are you thinking about starting a new project? Well, if you have an idea, we'll make it happen. Donlin Construction, a state licensed contractor, offers many services from site work, concrete paving and foundations, to customized office buildings and warehouses. Whatever service you require, Donlin Construction will make it happen. Just call 985-798-7788. Donlin Construction.
Hey, my friend's retail store was the victim of IoT password theft.
Yep. Cyber criminals are taking over security cameras, payment systems, and other IoT devices by exploiting vulnerabilities.
What if they target us and our dispersed network?
We're secured with Barracuda. We have advanced firewalls for our sites, enhanced security for our cloud infrastructure, and total email protection.
Such a relief.
Protect your business at Barracuda.com. Barracuda, your journey secured.
Pros do it right to get more bang for your buck because putting more toward your bottom line is good for business. Lowe's is here to help with everyday savings, whether finishing up a property or updating one. Stop in now and get a GE Smart Air Conditioner at our everyday low price of just $349. Its connected functionality enables full control from the convenience of a smart device. Plus, save $20 on select Harbor Breeze ceiling fans, now just $49.98. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offer valid through 6/23 U.S. only.
Join us on Saturdays from 10 to noon for the Sports Corner presented by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute with Stan Gravois and Casey Gisclair for the latest in high school, college, and professional sports from your local sports experts. That's the Sports Corner presented by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute with Stan Gravois and Casey Gisclair on Saturday from 10 to noon right here on ESPN 100.3.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. Jordan, the intern. Are you trying to look for gear? Is that what you're doing for tomorrow? Asking me where I can get gear around here? You don't have a nice, fresh Kattengill jersey like I do.
That's...
Yep.
You love yourself too much.
Well, I'm just telling you, I'm going to be snapping pictures left and right with all y'all, including you. Sleeveless. Sweaty.
You ain't touching me.
Mm-hmm.
You go get an Anthony Davis shirt for $61.
Who's still paying for that?
I don't know. That's crazy. $61?
$61.
That's stupid.
They were half off the final game.
Maybe $10, if that.
Look at the Mardi Gras Pels logo cap.
I don't like good caps.
You don't like it? Because of your hat hair? You can't be on SportsCenter?
Yeah.
I still can't believe you did not go on SportsCenter.
No one asked me to go on.
Because of your hat
hair.
No
one asked me to go on.
You were afraid of hat hair. 800-998-1003. coming up in 2 minutes. We'll go to a quick break. Joey, Coach Kenny Farrell just got out the airplane. He's going to join us. Did you even watch the U.S. take on Guyana last night?
No.
Good job. Good job. Do you even care?
I mean, I care.
Mm-hmm. Do you?
Yeah.
You didn't watch them, though. The Gold Cup. Opening game of the Gold Cup, the men. The women's are in the World Cup. Men in the Gold Cup. And, yeah. 4-0. 4-0. Oh, Coach Farrell. Wow, he's called me already. What's up, Coach Kenny Farrell? How are you?
Good. How you doing? Good.
Man, so excited to even wait 2 minutes. Coach, 4-0 last night against Guyana.
Yep.
And Christian Pulisic was on there. I mean, this is a legit Gold Cup match, so it's our best players, the works. Yep. But Tyler Boyd kind of stealing the show yesterday, scoring twice.
Yeah. No, look, it's good. It's what the U.S. needed. I saw a recap of some of the highlights today. I was on a plane when the game was being played. But the bigger picture is that where we were a week ago to where we are now, this is a result that they needed to get. They're 4 goals better than Guyana. They needed to have a 4-0 plus result. And they got done what they needed to get done. So, you know, I feel good about it because I was a little bit worried the last time I spoke to you about where the club was going, where the U.S. was going. But, you know, when you deserve to beat someone 4-0, that's what you do. You go out and beat them 4-0. So I'm quite happy with the result. I'll probably look at the whole game later on,
mm-hmm.
and I'll be able to give more more analysis on that later. But as I say, I was on a plane that was delayed yesterday, so I didn't get to see it. I did see some tremendous skill, though, from Pulisic in that game. Which seems to be going all over the Twitter sphere at the moment. But, listen, good stuff. If they can go on and do well in the Gold Cup, it's going to breed confidence. The result will breed confidence. Bringing in some of the key players is going to, you know, turn the ship around a little bit for the coach and for the players.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of the arrogance, I suppose it was arrogance, really. Some of the stuff they were pulling in the game, the pieces that I saw, the highlights, were very good. But that'll start to breed confidence through the rest of the players. And that's an important place to be psychologically. And as you know, the coach, Berhalter, needs time to get his system in place. And if he doesn't get results, he won't get that time. And it's a balancing act. So very good result. Very pleased with it. Let's see where they go next.
As far as Boyd, the player that I asked you about, he's 24. He plays in Turkey, was actually born in New Zealand, had 5 caps in New Zealand. Before mm-hmm. got the opportunity to switch to the U.S. and got called up to the Gold Cup roster. So kind of a recent, addition to that roster.
Yeah.
Is moves like that what you want to see, where guys are playing overseas, playing competitive, have been in big-time competition like that? And I mean, I'm just saying, for somebody to just get put on that roster to come in and put 2 goals, I think you got to be happy.
No, yeah, the player's got to be happy, but still yet to be proven long-term. Obviously, they have confidence in the player. And playing in Turkey, don't underestimate the level of play over there. It's really, really, it's a very physical league over there, and it's a high standard. And I think it's a good move for the U.S., but I still want to see this play out over the next 6 months. I want to see how the Gold Cup, you know, ends up. And I want to see it play out over the next 6 months to see if I get real confidence. For me, and I say this to you all the time, Gus, I'm looking at the World Cup. I'm looking at the World Cup, and it's just the you know, where I sit and where I come from. Are we preparing for that? Is Boyd going to help us be the powerhouse in CONCACAF, our region of the world, you know, Central America, North America, that we once were?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that we are anymore. You know, I don't think that we're a powerhouse in the CONCACAF region of the world. And can that player get us there? And the squad that they're putting together, can it get us there? As I say, it was a good win. It's a good addition to the squad. But let's see if we feel that that movement over the next 6 months or so, to see if we can get back to being, you know, the most feared team in this region of the world. Which, you know, within a year we went from being a team that everybody thought was probably the best team in CONCACAF to not making the World Cup, and then people not being overly fearful of playing us.
Right.
So that's where my mind is at. So the addition of the player is good. He's in a good league. You know, we spoke about this before, Gus, the importance of players playing in higher-level leagues. It's so important. And I wonder, you know, where we're going to be with that over the next 6 months as well. You know, so yeah, like he's playing in a great league, and I think he's, you know, going to bring some good stuff to the United States men's national team. But I said, I'm still in the phase of looking over the next 6 months. Can we become the number one team with Mexico as it always was over the last decade or so in this region? And we'll see where that goes.
I think one of the things that's interesting, speaking with head coach Kenny Farrell, your New Orleans jesters kind of going over the 4-0 win yesterday in the first game of the Gold Cup. Most the headlines are, nice win, tougher tests to come. Another headline I see is, look, the positives is you did see some scoring. The negatives took too long to get going against the 177th ranked nation in the world. Dodgy defensive moments, 6 out of 10 manager rating. So I guess when you look at it like that, I guess it's sort of like you're going to see it in a little more in depth, and we'll talk again maybe tomorrow when you preview the women's game in the World Cup next. But I guess that's what you're going to be paying attention to, right? I mean, we look at the headline, we look at the score and go, hey, 4-0, congratulations. You're going to be looking at some of the more in-depth things.
Yeah, I try and look at both because the result is very important. The confidence that the team needs to have is what, you know, it makes a difference a lot of times in close games and gets you to maximize and, like, you need to overachieve all the time, right, when you're at the international level. And the confidence seems to be coming back in the team, and maybe it was the right game at the right time, and they've got another couple of weeks of Gold Cup bracket games, you know, to continue with that. But the coach and the stability of the team and his kind of selfness as the head coach has to come at some wins, because you saw what the pressure was 7 days ago. They were starting to turn on the team already, and that's very difficult to be in that situation. And then when you get the win, doesn't matter who it's against, but you've done the right job, and you can start building from there. If that wasn't a result that was resounding, it was a 1-0 win or a 2-1 win last night, you might see a very different headline today. So he's got the breathing space to put together what he wants to put together. And my fear is that if they don't get the results, he will have to be looking for a new coach again. Remember, the United States Soccer Federation wasted 14 or 15 months hiring a coach. They wasted it. They had an interim coach for a year, over a year. And they didn't do anything about it. I mean, shame on that. But now what you've got is we're getting closer and closer to the big tournament, and you've got to get it done quicker. So that's what I feel about it. I feel from that part of it, I say the dressing room probably feels good. If they can bounce on and get another good result against Trinidad coming up, great. Let's see. You never know. They might bring this thing home at the end of the day. Okay. But that will give him the platform, the foundation to start building on. He hadn't got that 10 days ago. What he had 10 days ago was, is this guy good enough for the job? Everybody was putting pressure on him, press, fans, people going crazy, not liking what was going on, even though he didn't have the best players in the team. But when you're in that position, you need that, right? You need that before. So that takes that pressure off you so you can start to build what you're really trying to build going forward.
Coach, we got a few minutes, so let's just bring you in. That way you can relax tomorrow, and it'll be the NBA draft anyway. We might be busy. So women taking on Sweden tomorrow, 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
Kind of a game that really, would you agree, the first real big test for the Americans?
Yeah, I do. It'll be a closer game, in my opinion. They'll be tested a little bit more, but I've got to say, they look very, very good. I mean, they're very powerful, the USA. I think the Swedes are extremely well organized, very physically strong, can keep a game tight. If there's not a goal scored early in favor of U.S. or if Sweden go up by a goal, it's going to make it a very difficult match for them. But they need this one. They need a test. Now, I don't know how the coach is going to approach it. Is it going to make any changes? They're already through. Is it going to be the same starting lineup that they've had, you know, in the first two games, the key players in those key positions, are they going to play or is he going to rest them? I'm not sure of that yet. But at the end of the day, they do need to go on and win it. And I think she probably will put her best lineup with one or two changes in it out there. And I think it'll be a closer game. I think it'll be more like a 2-0 result to the U.S. I think would be a fair result for tomorrow's game. If they go on and do better than that, great. But, it's the first test. But remember, there's a little bit of pressure off them as well because, you know, they've got the first two out of the way. They're completely dominant, you know, in the games, and they look very good. They're living up to their expectations. So I expect them to win tomorrow, but I do expect it to be tougher. And I give Sweden and the Scandinavian countries great credit for being very well organized. And when they don't have the ball, they play very well behind the ball and not allow teams to get up on them. And they do that very, very well. So it's going to be testing. It's going to be testing. Yeah, and you know, the U.S. over the U.S. women's national team have not always proven to be very good when teams sit in and play on the counterattack. And I think that's what Sweden will do tomorrow. They've not always been the best at that. You know, teams don't come out to play them. When they come out to play them in an open game, the U.S. can, just outplay them all over the field and be more athletic than them, quicker than them, better technically than them. But if a team comes out and sits in, plays behind the ball and doesn't allow the ball to travel forward or get behind the defense, they do struggle with that. They've struggled with that before, so we'll see. It's going to be a great game, but I'm really looking forward to watching it.
It's interesting, especially because I've seen some national takes out there. Maybe it would be a good thing if the U.S. loses this and things. I don't know when losing is ever a good thing in any situation.
That's absolute rubbish. That's rubbish. Nobody wants to lose a game. Look, what happens is when you lose a game that you shouldn't, you bounce back from it, right? You use it as a tool to invigorate the team, to bounce back, to get focused on the next one, to sharpen up. But it's not a good thing to lose a game. You need to go win games. You need to go win games. You know, you just use it as a tool when you've lost the game. You go to your dressing room, you look at the next day, and you look at the next week, and you look at the next challenge that's coming up, and you use that as a tool to get your team ready because they're hurt, and they're, you know, introspecting, and they're looking at themselves, say, how did we lose that game? What happened there? What happened here? And you can really focus in on some of the stuff they need to sharpen up on. But no, I don't think that. I don't agree with that. I think they need to go out and be every bit as good. I think they need to be on the front foot again and make the Swedes work really, really hard. I think the chemistry among the team is very good. It appears to be by their performances, not by what they say. I don't mind. I don't care what they say. I just look at the performances of the players, and it looks like they're sending a message out that they're ready to get business done. So I would feel good about it right now. And they need to go win it, and I don't think losing the game that you should win is ever a good thing. It's just a tool to use to motivate, refocus once it's happened.
There he is. Head Coach Kenny Farrell, Ill Adjusters, is the way to follow him over on Twitter. Coach, we'll get together again this weekend and knock out a couple of more podcasts, my friend.
Absolutely. Can't wait for that.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Go to NolaJesters.com. There's the links to all of our podcasts we've done so far. We're just kind of catching you up on everything that's going on. Busy, busy month in the world of soccer when it comes to the month of June. So Coach and I getting together, and you can follow us over at NolaJesters on Twitter as well, and I'll retweet it as well on mine, at GCAT_17. We'll tell you where we're going to be. If you want to come hang out with us while we do the podcast as well, it should be fun.
Yeah, great stuff. Looking forward to it.
All right, buddy. See you soon.
All right, take care.
There you go, said Coach Kenny Farrell. Join the interns. You finished watching highlights?
Yes.
Of Laurie Markkanen?
Yes.
Still going Taco Fall, huh?
If he's there.
You're unbelievable. You would rather Taco Fall than Laurie Markkanen?
Why not have both?
No, you know what? You're done. You started out so good today. You really did. You really did. I ain't even got to this. So, Mike Greenberg this morning, I get there's a lot of excitement with Anthony Davis and LeBron James. The best duo ever in L.A.?
I don't disagree with you on what we just saw from Kawhi Leonard. The interesting thing is that we anointed someone else the best player in basketball every other day during this postseason. We never did that once during the 8 years that LeBron was leading his teams. I think we've forgotten him. And the second piece of that is I'm not 1,000% sure the actual best player in basketball isn't Anthony Davis. And you put Anthony Davis and LeBron together, I don't know that there has ever been a combination right. better than that.
Wow. There you go. Best duo ever. Okay. I'm still going Shaq and Kobe. In L.A. Best duo. No? Yes? Anybody? 800-998-1003. You think LeBron and AD will be the best duo in L.A.? There's people who call them the best duo ever, better than Michael and Scottie. They got a little pressure on them, huh? Got to win a lot more. Hour 3 next to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.